This is Akashvani. A review of today's parliament proceedings read by Abhineet Shukla. First from the Lok Sabha, writer is Achinta Bora of PTI. Lok Sabha proceedings were disrupted for the third consecutive day today due to noisy protests by opposition parties demanding a discussion on Operation Sindoor and voter roll revision in Bihar, leading to the house being adjourned multiple times. When the house met at 11 a.m, opposition MPs, including Congress, were on their feet, raising slogans and showing placards with their demand for discussion on Operation Sindoor. The opposition is also demanding a discussion on the Special Intensive Revision, that is SIR exercise, initiated by the Election Commission in Bihar ahead of the assembly elections there. Speaker Om Birla said the protesting MPs were behaving as if they were on the streets and warned that he would be forced to take decisive action against them. He urged the members that they should behave in a manner that reflect the hopes, aspirations of the people who have elected them. You should work in a manner and debate and discuss issues that would make the people's lives easier, he said. But you have been showing street-like behavior in parliament, he added. Birla also told the leaders of the political parties that the behavior of the MPs does not behove of parliamentarians. The MPs are not supposed to carry placards. If you continue with such act, I will be forced to take decisive action, he said, and asked the members to take their respective seats and take part in the proceedings. After the opposition members ignored his pleas, the speaker adjourned the house till 12 noon. When the house met again at 12 noon, opposition members again stormed into the well of the house, waving placards and raising slogans. BJP leader Sandhya Rai, who was in the chair, adjourned the proceedings till 2 p.m. after laying off parliamentary papers and introduction of two bills of the sports ministry. When the house resumed business at 2 p.m, the opposition members again resorted to noisy protests. TDP leader Krishna Prasad Tenneti, who was in the chair, adjourned the house for the day. The house could not function on the first 2 days of the monsoon session this week due to repeated adjournments following opposition protests over the demand of discussion on Operation Sindoor and SIR in Bihar. Earlier, Union Sports Minister Mansukh Mandviya introduced the National Sports Governance Bill in Lok Sabha that proposes to institute a board which will have sweeping powers to lay down rules and oversee the functioning of federations, including the cash-rich BCCI. Mandviya introduced the bill that has provisions for a National Sports Board, that is NSB, to create a stringent system of accountability. All National Sports Federations, that is NSFs, will have to attain NSB's recognition for access to central government funding. Another striking feature is the proposal for a National Sports Tribunal, which will have the powers of a civil court and decide disputes ranging from selection to election involving federations and athletes. Once instituted, tribunal's decisions can only be challenged in the Supreme Court. All recognized national sports bodies would also come under the ambit of the Right to Information, that is RTI Act, something that the BCCI has vehemently opposed since it is not dependent on government funding. Now we have to study the bill and we will have to see if we need to place it before the Apex Council. We can only comment after that, BCCI Vice President and Rajya Sabha Member Rajiv Shukla said outside the Parliament. Obviously, BCCI members will study the bill and its clauses, and if put forth to any committee, they will study and then we will see what needs to be done. We will also have discussions with the government, he added. The ministry has insisted that the BCCI, which is now a part of the Olympic movement following cricket's inclusion in the 2028 Los Angeles Games roster, will have to comply with the provisions of the bill once it becomes an act. The NSB will comprise a chairperson and its members will be appointed by the central government from amongst persons of ability, integrity and standing. The board's constituents will also be expected to possess special knowledge or practical experience in the field of public administration, sports governance, sports law and other related fields. The appointments would be done based on the recommendations of a search-cum-selection committee, according to the draft bill that has been finalized after extensive consultations with stakeholders and public inputs. The objectives of the bill states, there is a felt need for a comprehensive legislation to improve the governance of the sports bodies and achieve better results in sports and reduce the disputes and litigation, inter alia, involving sports federations. There is an imperative need to curb factionalism and administrative interventions, which adversely affects the organized development of sports and related activities in India, and also for its better presentation before the international sports community, it added. The NSB will have the mandate to de-recognize a national body that fails to hold elections for its executive committee or has committed gross irregularities in the election procedures. failure to publish annual audited accounts or misused, misapplied or misappropriated public funds would also be liable for action by the NSB, but it would be required to consult the concerned global body before making its move. The bill also provides for a national sports election panel consisting of former members of the Election Commission of India or the State Election Commission or former chief electoral officers of the states or deputy election commissioners. Mandvi also introduced the National Anti-Doping Amendment Bill 2025 that seeks to incorporate the changes sought by the World Anti-Doping Agency, that is WADA, which objected to government interference in the functioning of the country's anti-doping agency, that is NADA. The act was originally passed in 2022, but its implementation had to be put on hold due to objections raised by WADA. Meanwhile, Railway Minister Ashwini Vaishnaw informed the Lok Sabha that work in the Gujarat portion of the bullet train corridor between Vapi and Sabarmati is planned to be completed by December 2027, and the entire project from Maharashtra to Sabarmati section is expected to be over by December 2029. The minister provided an update on the country's most ambitious project after some members asked questions regarding the status of its construction. He said the 508-kilometer-long Mumbai-Ahmedabad high-speed rail, that is MAHSR project, is under execution with technical and financial assistance from Japan. It is passing through Gujarat, Maharashtra and Dadra and Nagar Haveli, with 12 stations planned at Mumbai, Thane, Virar, Boisar, Vapi, Bilimora, Surat, Bharuch, Vadodara, Anand, Ahmedabad and Sabarmati, Vaishnaw said. The Gujarat portion of the corridor between Vapi and Sabarmati is planned to be completed by December 2027. The entire project from Maharashtra to Sabarmati section is expected to be completed by December 2029, he said in a written reply. The minister said the total estimated cost of the project is approximately 1,08,000 crore rupees, out of which Japan International Corporation Agency, that is JICA, is funding 81%, that is 88,000 crore rupees, and the balance 19%, that is 20,000 crore rupees, will be funded through equity contributions from the Ministry of Railways 50% and governments of Maharashtra 25% and Gujarat with 25%. A cumulative financial expenditure of 78,839 crore rupees has been incurred on the project till June the 30th, he said. The delay in land acquisition in Maharashtra has impacted the project till 2021. However, currently, entire land for MAHSR project has been acquired, he said. Railway Minister Ashwini Vaishnaw also informed the Lok Sabha that more than 16 lakh frontline rail employees have been trained for 3 years to handle medical emergencies at stations and in trains effectively. He said this in response to questions about emergency medical centres in railways. Union Minister of State for Personnel Jitendra Singh said in Lok Sabha that more than 1.25 crore public grievances have been redressed since 2020. The Central Public Grievances Redressal and Monitoring System, or CPGRAMS, allows citizens to raise grievances online. Union Minister Jitendra Singh also informed the Lok Sabha that over 55,000 pension-related grievances were resolved through the Centralized Pension Grievances Redress and Monitoring System, that is CPGRAMS, portal between January and July 15 this year. The rate of grievances redressed on the CPGRAMS portal has come down from 35 days in January 2025 to 20 days in July 2025, reflecting the timely and effective grievance redressal of pension grievances, he said. And now a review of proceedings in the Rajya Sabha. Writer is Kumar Rahul of PTI. Proceedings of Rajya Sabha were adjourned today, the third day of the monsoon session, amid continued uproar and protests from the opposition members. The members from the opposition parties repeatedly disrupted proceedings, demanding a discussion on the special intensive revision of electoral rolls in Bihar. The upper house saw its first adjournment after it met at 11 a.m. and the second one at noon. Both the times, the house was adjourned after opposition protested over the Bihar voter list revision issue. When the house assembled for the third time at 2 p.m., it was finally adjourned for the day after witnessing similar protests. After lunch, when the upper house assembled at 2 p.m. after having two adjournments, Shipping and Waterways Minister Sarbananda Sonowal moved the carriage of goods by Sea Bill 2025 for discussion and passing. However, the opposition members continued their protest, demanding a discussion on the issue of voter list revision in Bihar, with some even trooping into the well of the house, while many others remained on their feet. Opposition members raised slogans against the exercise of special intensive revision of electoral rolls in Bihar. They also demanded that leader of opposition Mallikarjun Kharge be allowed to speak. Bhubaneshwar Kalita, who was in the chair, adjourned the house for the day as the protests continued. Earlier in the day, the upper house witnessed similar protests, leading to adjournments. The opposition members created uproar in the house following rejection of their adjournment notices, demanding discussion on various issues, including revision of electoral rules. Soon after the listed papers were tabled, Deputy Chairman Harivansh informed that he had received 25 notices under Rule 267 demanding discussion on revision of electoral rolls, demolition of slums in Delhi, alleged discrimination against migrant workers from Bengal in other states, and air safety. The chair, however, rejected all the adjournment notices, which led to huge protests and sloganeering by MPs of different opposition parties. Deputy Chairman Harivansh, who was presiding over the House at the time, urged the House to at least allow MDMK member Vaiko to raise his zero-hour mention, saying his Rajya Sabha term was ending tomorrow. Vaiko raised the issue related to increasing incidents of arrest of Indian fishermen by Sri Lanka, even as the protest continued. When the House met at noon, Ghanshyam Tiwari, who was in the chair, called the questionnaire to be taken up, but opposition members were on their feet and demanded that the special intensive revision, that is SIR issue, be discussed. Protesting members ignored requests by the chair to allow the questionnaire to proceed, forcing adjournment. When the chair called the name of CPI Santhosh Kumar P to ask his supplementary question, he started raising the issue of revision of electoral rules in Bihar. Yesterday also, the Rajya Sabha had witnessed several adjournments, mainly on the matters of revision of electoral rolls, and could not conduct any substantial business. Meanwhile, Union Road Transport and Highways Minister Nitin Gadkari, in a written reply to the Rajya Sabha, said, "The pace of national highways construction during 2023-2024 stood at 34 kilometers per day. The highest ever pace was recorded in 2020-2021 when it reached 37 kilometers per day." Gadkari said, "All the national highways development projects, including the development of access-controlled high-speed corridors, that is HSCs, and expressways, are planned in line with PM Gati Shakti National Master Plan or NMP. Responding to a separate query, the minister said till date, 13,795 black spots have been identified on national highways in the country. In this, short-term rectification has been completed on 11,866 black spots and long-term rectification has been completed on 5,324 black spots." Replying to another question, he said, "The Dehradun-Delhi access-controlled highway with a total capital cost of about 12,000 crore rupees is targeted for completion by October 2025. While replying to another written question, Gadkari said, "The government has not prohibited plying of old vehicles, and it was the National Green Tribunal, that is NGT, which banned the use of diesel and petrol vehicles beyond a certain age in the National Capital Region, that is NCR. The vehicle scrapping policy of the government does not ban the use of 15-year-old vehicles," Gadkari said in a written reply to Rajya Sabha. He further said that the Supreme Court has directed the transport departments of the states in the NCR that all diesel vehicles more than 10 years old and petrol vehicles more than 15-year-old shall not ply in terms of the NGT order dated 7th of April 2015. The Road Transport and Highways Minister said that the government has formulated the Voluntary Vehicle Fleet Modernization Program, that is VVMP, of vehicle scrapping policy for creation of an ecosystem to phase out unfit and polluting vehicles in an environment-friendly manner. The government informed Rajya Sabha there were 109,000 vacancies in the Central Armed Police Forces and Assam Rifles as on the 1st of January, in which recruitment for 72,689 posts is ongoing. Replying to a written question, Minister of State for Home Affairs Nityanand Rai provided data on sanctioned strength, actual strength and vacancies in the Central Paramilitary Forces. The data showed that sanctioned strength in these forces went up from 10,04,980 in 2021 to 10,67,110 in 2025 as of 1st of January. And that's all in Parliament Review.